Yes, 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 people. It is time for a brand new Echo Chamber. And as we do, we will start off with a look at the UK box office top 10 for the weekend of the 26th to the 29th of May. So last weekend, people. Okay, at number 10, it's a new one from Joaquin Phoenix. It is Beau is Afraid. So Ari Aster wrote and directed, and it's starring Joaquin Phoenix, Patti LuPone, Amy Ryan, Nathan Lane, Carl Rogers, Dennis McCorkett, Parker Posey, Zoe Lister-Jones. Right at number 9, we have the Sleeping Beauty from the Royal Opera House. And at number 8, people, again, it's another one of these, you know what I mean, go to the cinema to watch a thingy thing. It's Tomorrow X Together Again. I don't know what that means, right? But it's something. So at number 7, we have got Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. So this is written and directed by Kelly Furman Craig, an adaptation of the Judy Blume book of the same name, starring Abby Ryder Forston, Rachel McAdams, Kathy Bates, Benny Safady, Ellie Graham, Amari Alexi Price. Right, so at number 6 we have Sisu, right? So this is written and directed by Jamari Helander. It is starring Juma Tomilia, Akalel Henny, Jack Doolan, Mimosa Willamo, Oni Tomilio, Tati Sinasalolo. I think it's a Scandinavian film, you know. I am saying that for my bad pronunciations, and I'm sticking with it, people. So we are now in the top 5, and at number 5 it's Hypnotic, right? This is directed by Robert Rodriguez, and he co-wrote it with Max Bornstein, starring Ben Affleck, Alex Bagger, J.D. Pardue, Deo Akeleni, Jeff Feo, Jackie Earl Haley, William Fichtner, Zane Holtz. Right, at number 4, Super Mario Brothers, people. Aaron Horovitz and Michael Jelenic, written by Matthew Fogel. So, yes. Chris Pratt, Charlie Day, Anna Taylor-Joy, Jack Black, Kevin Michael Richardson, Kiari Payton, all lend their voices. At number 3, it's Guardians of the Galaxy of Volume 3. James Gunn wrote and directed. We've got Chris Pratt, Zoe Salander, Dave Bautista, Vin Diesel, Bradley Cooper, Karen Gillian, Pom Clemeth, Elizabeth Debicki, Sean Gunn, Sylvester Stallone, Will Pewter, Kawadi Iwi. All doing their thing. At number 2, it is Fast X. All right, Louise Lettiner directs. Story by Dan Mazou, Justin Lin, and Gary Scott Thompson. Vin Diesel, Joanna Brewster, Michelle Rodriguez, Ludacris, Jason Momoa, John Cena, Jason Statham, Rita Moreno, Tyrese Gibson, you know what I mean? Helen Mirren, Brie Larson, Charlize Theron. Right, so the number 1 film this week. It is the live action adaptation of The Little Mermaid. Yes. So Rob Marshall is behind the camera. He co-wrote with John DeLuca and David McGee. And it's starring Hale Bailey, Jonah Holger King, Melissa McCarthy, Javier Bardem, Jude Akwadedik, Norma Dumezawani, Kaja Mohama, Lorena Andrea, David Diggs, Jacob Tremblay, Awkwafina, Simone Ashley, et al. So that's the top 10 people. We have 3 films for you this week. So let's get it popping. Okay, people. So first up, we have got Hitmen. Okay, people. So fans of probably over the top gangster fix will be happy because Hitmen is soon to be released. This is the new film from Savas D. Michael. He wrote and directed. The film is produced by John Pavlakos, Steve Lee Jones, who has Thomas Anthony. It's executive produced by Gustav Restrepo, co-produced by Ivana Radjenkovic, and associate produced by Ivan Berkeke. Laura Van Der Hel is on cinematography. Helen Stafford handled the casting. Harry Panapayatu, production design. India Afbotnot, costume design. Hair and makeup, we have Chelsea Murphy, Rachel Keane, Craig Hamilton, and Harry Capadivel. Production management, Ivana Radajenkovic. Our cast, there's a lot of people up in this. So Eric Roberts plays Michael Hero. We've got Roman Summers as his son, Paris Hero. Then there's Danny Hero, Paris's son, played by Elijah Rowan. We also have got Tony, played by Charlie Rawls. We have got Don Salvatore Pazza, played by Marco Leonardo. There's Doreen, Tony's wife, played by Jan Anderson. We've got the Love Days, right? So there's Luke, played by Daniel Calicatori. And then there's Lauren, played by Louise Brabin-Platt. We've got Marcel, played by Jack Parr. The Major, played by Bentley Kalu. Bob Black, played by Adam Deacon. Paul Ali Rahman, played by Vaz Blackwood. The Reaper, played by the one and only Georges St-Pierre. Diwali Deville, played by Jenny Miller. Who else do we have? Justin Villons, played by Lucas Aurelio. Faye, played by Cassandra French. Eddie Marks, played by Tony Fadil. Oh, yeah, there's Jackie Hero as well, who is played by Max Lowen. Francesca, played by Ivana Radjenkovic. Judy, played by Nicole Bartlett. Raphael, played by Tahir Ashraf. Florence Frazzese, played by Mia Bignall. Samson Slade, played by Dean Christie. Fabiana Fazzi, played by Chelsea Lee McLeod. Yeah, I'd say that's probably our main lot. Right, so people, the film is about this. After accidentally killing the grandson of powerful CEO Michael Hero, a married couple, Luke and Lauren, are forced to fight or flee for their lives. When the vengeful businessman enlists the help of a mob boss to take them down with a 1 million bounty placed on their heads, the chase begins as they attract the attention of the world's deadliest assassins, who will stop at nothing to claim that prize. I mean, I don't know, right? I don't know if you could say they accidentally killed this guy. You know. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily call it accidentally. But what to say about this one? I mean, look, we've had so many assassin hitmen films, right? So many. And man, there's been some great ones, right? We've got La Femme Nikita. Love that one, right? Leon. You've got Kill Bill, right? Old Country for Old Men, Collateral. Oh man, you know what I mean? There's been some top notch assassin films, you know what I mean? And there's a whole heap more, a whole heap more, right? The Long Good Night, the Friday, The Long Good Night. You know the one, that one, right? Just a whole heap. So when you get like these new entries, I mean, John Wick, can't forget the John Wick films, right? That's like boom. But when you get these new entries, there's a lot to live up to, right? And you find yourself, even when trying to come into things with an open mind, right? There's benchmarks that you set. You know, benchmarks that you set. Now, it might not be as good as one, but it might be, you know, on the lines of one of the others. So that's the problem I find at times with these things. And this film, Hitmen, I mean, premise-wise, we have seen it before. You know what I mean? Accidental death leads to someone seeking revenge, right? It's not new, but you know, there's fun ways of going about it. I mean, with Hitmen, well, I mean, I should say this out the gate, right? If you're a fan of Savas's previous films, you know, like Red Devil, Righteous Villains, Original Gangster, you know, The Bezonians, Phantom Warrior, right? Smoking Guns. If those films tickle you, right? If that's something that you love, right? Then this will work. This will work, right? I think the thing, you know, and I think when it comes to British gangster films, everyone will always hold things up to, right? Lock, Stock, Snatch, Right, they're just ones people will always go, oh, is it like those? Oh, they're doing this, so they're trying to be like those. So you have that, but, you know, there's so many. You know, Vicious Fun was another recent one, right? And with this, I think a key thing with, you know, I mean, just with any film is building that rapport. Right, you might not need to know the whole history of a character, but you should either love them or hate them. You can't be indifferent, right? Because that means you don't give a fuck what happens. You know, you just don't care. And I think that is the problem with Luke and Lucy. I just didn't really find myself caring, right? You've got this married couple, and they're supposedly in love, but they're arguing all the time. And it's just things that are getting said surely show there's no love. And they just didn't really feel to be a rapport between them. You know, so you're just not buying anything else. You know, just with some of the, there's the other hitman couple in the film. God, it was Judy. Oh man, I cannot. No, it wasn't Judy. Judy was with Marcel. I cannot remember. Yeah, can't remember. May have been Valerie, right? And Richard might have been them again, no. Just nothing, right? There was just no rapport. And we're meant to believe because it leads Richard into doing all the things he does later on in the film. And that's a big problem. Like, it's just this rapport. You've got the, you know, Michael hero, supposedly, but everything kind of comes off a little bit wooden and flat, right? Now, Savas tries to inject humor into the film, but I just think it's the delivery doesn't always work. You know, you have people hiding under beds and things like that, but it's just done in a way where it doesn't really come off as comedic for me anyway. You know, I think you can see that everyone involved was probably having fun, you know, getting to be over the top hitman, blowing things up and shooting people, right? Probably fun. But I think it just doesn't necessarily translate to the screen. Right? You've got the hotel owner on a phone call eating KFC, and then having a conversation with the Lovedays. But the way it all plays out, you're just like, well, surely the person who would be on the other end would have hung up. Because you're not actually, you haven't talked to that person in the last 10 minutes. You know what I mean? It just doesn't really, there's a lot of things that we see visually that don't necessarily make sense, right? Someone opening up a glass door, but not seeing someone holding a gun through it, right? You're just like, hold on. Being told that your car is bugged, but still going in the car, right? There's just these things where you're just like, what is happening? What is happening? So yeah, unfortunately, the film doesn't really work for me. Doesn't work for me. But as I said, people, if you're a fan of Savas's previous works, right? Smoking Guns, The Red Devil, Righteous Villains, Original Gangster, The Bizonians, Phantom Warrior. If those are your films, then Hitmen will work for you and you'll enjoy it. And people, you can get it from all your favorite VODs, you know, iTunes, Google, Amazon, Sky, yeah, it's there. So yes, if Hitmen sounds like it is the film for you, hey, go and enjoy. Next, people, it is time for Confess Fletch. All right, people, so I decided to give Confess Fletch a look, right? It is directed by Greg Motolo, who co-wrote the film with Zev Boro. It is produced by Connie Tavel, John Hamm, and Bill Block. It's executive produced by Andrew Gulov, Mark Kameen, David List, Greg Motolo, and Thomas Zadra. Music was handled by David Arnold, Sam Levy, cinematography, Andy Keir, edits everything. Ellen Chenoweth is on casting. Alex DiGherlando, production design. Nick Francone, art direction. Set decoration is Kendall Anderson. Costume design is Wendy Chuck. Hair and makeup, we have Juliet Loveland, Brenda McNally, Trish Sini, and Sherin Smith. Our cast. Well, Irvin Morris Fletch is played by John Hamm. We have Laurel Goodwin, played by Catelyn Zira Rose. Inspector Morris Monroe is played by Roy Wood Jr. We have got, what is her name? That's it. Junior Detective Gritz, played by Aidan Meieri, right? We have got Owen, played by John Bellman. Eve, his neighbor, is played by Annie Momolo. Ronald Horland is played by Carl McLaughlin. Right, Frank Jaff is played by John Slattery. Tatiana is played by Lucy Punch. We've got the Countessa, played by Marcia Gay Harden, and her daughter-in-law, Angela DeGrassi, played by Lorenza Izzo. The Commodore is played by Kenneth Kimmins. The Count DeGrassi is played by Robert Picardo. I kind of feel that's probably our main. Yeah, I think that's probably our main lot of characters. There's a lot of kind of bit people floating around and all of this kind of jazz. Right now, the gist of the story is this. Roguish, charming, and endlessly troublesome, Fletch, who becomes the prime suspect in a murder case while searching for a stolen art collection. The only way to prove his innocence, find out which of the long list of suspects is the culprit. From the eccentric art dealer and a missing playboy to a crazy neighbor, and Fletch's Italian girlfriend. crime, in fact, has never been this disorganized. So yes, that's the film. And yeah, this is the third, this is based on the third book in the series, right, which was written by Gregory MacDonald. Came out in 1976, people. The previous two, Fletch and Fletch Live, starred Chevy Chase in the Fletch role. And this is one of those ones that has been talked about, right, for years. For years, you'd hear, oh, they're going to make a new Fletch film. Oh, this person is attached to star, and this person. And it's just one of those ones, man. So it finally got made. And to be honest with you, it kind of feels like White Men Can't Jump. Right? Kind of feels like White Men Can Jump. Like, and what I, with that, I mean, it's something that doesn't, I don't really feel it works now. Right? As you think of all those old films like Pink Panther and stuff like that. My mind's gone blank, people. But yeah, you think of those films, right? They're goofy. People are just doing ridiculous things. Like, we've got the neighbor Evie, who's setting things alight, who's knocking things over. And you're like, okay, that was amusing in the 60s, maybe. But you nowadays, you just can't buy someone being that ridiculous. You know, like, there's clumsy, for sure. People can be clumsy. But that's just that over-the-topness that you're just like, eh. I mean, we've just seen it so many times. Right? It just feels like a lazy characterization rather than, you know what I mean, this nuanced character who's just a bit clumsy, right? Just seems to find themselves on the wrong end of everything. You know, because I think there is a way of doing this film, which I think would work, but you just have to kind of update from the played out tropes, right? And that's what this is, just load of played out tropes, right? It's the oversexed old woman. You know what I mean? The oversexed who's always like, oh, you want to sleep with me? Oh, okay, I will let you. You know, and you're just like, oh. I mean, you're telling me you can't get rid of an old woman from your house. Like, it's just a little ridiculous now. You know, it's used to be amusing sometimes. Like, I remember just Eartha Kitt and Boomerang, right? That was, and he sleeps with her, and then it's just like, yeah, she doesn't make decisions. Like, you know, I mean, what are you doing? You didn't need to do that shit. I mean, there's never a reason to do that shit, but yo. So yeah, it's just, you know, it's just one of those things that you're just like, really? What we're doing? Right? You've got to meet the daughter. And then it's just like, oh, we're both in love. And it's just like, I mean, you've only just met. Like, we could just say you like each other. That's fine. Why don't we just say that? It doesn't have to be this over-the-topness, which then, like, there's all of these things, right, that are pointing in these different directions. And it's just like, wait, why would you believe this person over that person? Why don't you, like, you think someone would go to the police. Why aren't you going to the police? Right? The way the police are handling all of it, you're just like, nah, no one's doing that. Like, no one's doing, it makes no sense, right? There's contamination of evidence. There's just, it's just foolish. It's a lot of foolishness, which I am not against a foolish film, right? I'm not against fun, people. I'm a fun motherfucker. But let's move away from lazy storytelling. Right? Let's give someone a plot that feels substantial, that feels intelligent. You know, when you look at the Knives Out films, right? I thought both of those were fun as fuck, right? There was silliness and all of that, but I thought it worked. You know what I mean? And there's countless of films that you think, oh yeah, that was a little silly, but it works, you know? But this, yeah, it just felt very stuck in the ways, very much, right? A pastiche of the original Fletch films. Right, it's just like, okay, so Fletch and Fletch Lives, oh, they did this, so we have to now do that. Rather, okay, those films are fun. People love those films. I didn't love those films, but people love those films. Why did they love those films? All right, so obviously that won't work now, so let's update it, but we can embrace that theme, that essence, and just put that modern spin on it. That's what I feel should have been done, but it wasn't. And so you just have someone doing all of these things that you're just like, wait, no one's gonna not suspect, right? No one's gonna not see through that. You know, it's always, you know, when you have a film and someone's like, oh, follow that car. And you're like, okay, you're the only two cars on the road. But you're telling me that the lead car hasn't clocked that someone is fucking following them. You know, it's just stuff like that that you're just like, ugh, people, come on now. What are we doing? Right? What are we doing? I did think John Hamm looked like Chevy Chase, right? I thought he looks like Chevy Chase. Is that just me? I mean, obviously, not the old Chevy Chase from Community, but the younger Chevy Chase. I thought they looked similar. Now, that might just be a makeup thing. Maybe, but I don't know. Or I could just be seeing shit. Who knows, people? But yeah, I didn't really think that Fletch was the best representation of a great comedy, you know, just didn't. But I will probably say that, I mean, if you enjoyed like Coming to America too, yeah, if you enjoyed Coming to America too, if you enjoyed You People, you know what I mean? Like, you think about some of these modern comedies, right? If those work well for you, then yeah, I think that this new Fletch, you'll probably enjoy that as well. You know, I mean, as I said, look, I didn't like the original Fletches, so I would probably say if you like those, you could most likely like this one as well. You know, if you like, yeah, like some of the Naked Gun stuff, right? Naked Gun, Cheaper by the Dozen, like that kind of stuff, then yeah, maybe this will work. Right? But yeah, not really my cup of tea. I'm just like, Fletch, don't confess, rot in jail. Maybe a little harsh. Maybe a little harsh, people. You know? But yeah. Like, no character really gets fleshed out. So yeah, just, you know, the acting just seems passable. Right. And that's just not to say anyone was terrible, but it's just they weren't really given a lot to play with. You know what I mean? But as I said, people, think about the stuff you like, right? Type of comedies that work for you. This may work for you. Didn't for me, but it's out there. It is out and about. So yeah, check it if it sounds like it's your type of thing. All right, Confess Fletch. Right. Let's bring it home with The Whale. Okay, people, so The Whale, right? This has been talked about so much, right? Up for all these awards and everything like that. So I was interested to check it out, right? And yeah, that's what I did, right? It is directed by Aaron Aronofsky, written by Samuel D. Hunter. The film is produced by Aronofsky and Jeremy Dawson, along with Ari Handel. It's executive produced by Scott Franklin and Tyson Bidner, and associate produced by Dylan Golden, Brendan Naylor, and Jeff Robinson. Rob Simonson handles the music. Matthew Liberquack is on cinematography. Andrew Weisblum edits the piece. Lindsey Graham and Mary Venue are on casting. Production design, we got Mark Friedberg and Robert Pajuka. Art direction is Jirozama Aruchi. Set decoration is Lisa Scapa. Costume design is Danny Glicker. Hair and makeup, prosthetics, we've got Kathy Tiz, Jean-Francis Simard, Shane Shishaboran, Adrian Maron, Chris Gallagher, Donald Francis, Judy Chin, Anna Marie Bradley Sharon, Mandy Bissetti, Stephanie Ashton, and Nina Anton. With our cast, Charlie is played by Brendan Fraser. His ex-wife, Mary, is played by Samantha Moulton. His estranged daughter, Lily, is played by Sadie Sink. His best and only friend, it would seem, is Liz, played by Hong Chau. We have got JC Sink playing a young Ellie. We then have Ty Simpkins, who plays Thomas, a religious door knocker person. And we have Safa Sidharan, who plays Dan the Pizza Man. So the gist of this is Idaho 2016. Scarred by the profound wounds of grief and guilt, couch-bound Charlie, an online writing instructor, English teacher, living with chronic obesity, now has a crystal clear view of his secret intentions. And confined to his claustrophobic and musty apartment, the self-destructive shut-in has all the time in the world to contemplate the damaging thoughts of the past, fatherhood, and reconciliation. Because more than anything, flawed Charlie longs for communication and reconnection. After all, he hasn't spoken to his estranged, angry teenage daughter Ellie in years. But everyone knows whales don't live in the shallows. Do love and forgiveness have the power to wipe away the tears and painful mistakes of a lifetime? This is interesting, right? You look at the response to the film, and there's a load of people talking about a load of different things. right, saying that this film is a masterpiece, or saying they should have had an obese actor play the role, right? So many different kind of reactions to it, right? Talking about, you know, Charlie being this heartfelt character and everyone should feel for him, and, you know, the won number of awards. Interestingly enough, most of the awards go to Brendan Fraser and Anna Aronofsky, right? I mean, we don't really, we don't really see Hong Chau. I think she might have won one award. Nominated, doesn't really win anything, right? Which I find interesting. Very interesting. Now, for me, this film, I don't know, man. Like, I thought tonally, right, visually, it looked good, right? It works. It should be a dark, like, just eerie, musky looking thing. As we're dealing with someone who's shut in their apartment, right? Doesn't move, right? He's 600 pounds. 600 pounds. Boy. Right? So, yeah. You think, you know, the look is good. I was just very conflicted about everything else, to be honest with you, right? I should say, it is an adaptation of a play from 2012 that Samuel D. Hunter wrote as well. Now, it'd be curious to know how the play was, you know, what was changed, if anything, you know. I mean, the big thing is, there's, you know, a lot here, right? We get Charlie lamenting that he's just always wanted to reconnect with his daughter and just never had an opportunity. Never had an opportunity. And, you know, he's saving money for her, and there's all of these different things, right? He's eating because of the suicide of his boyfriend. But, I mean, firstly, you wonder what the time frame is of the death of his boyfriend, Alan, to this moment, right? What is that? Now, it has to be it definitely has to be a while, because you wouldn't put on that much weight in like a month or so. You know what I mean? That takes a while to put on. You know, and when I say a while, I'm, you know, not necessarily 10 years, but at least, you know, we're talking over a year, 2 years, most likely, I would say. I'm not a doctor. But we don't really get that mentioned, right? We don't really get, why is Lizzie's best friend? You know, we don't really get these answers. And during the film, some of the things that Charlie says turns out not to necessarily be completely true, right? But it's treated still that Charlie is just this, you know, open guy, always trying to see the positive in the world and just all of this. And you just be like, I don't know. Right? I don't know if I can believe any of that, especially when you see the lies, you know, which, again, not really addressed. Things just never really get addressed. We get sad music, you know what I mean, to try and go, oh, this moment is sad. And you're just like, we don't need the music. I felt it's very heavy-handed in place, trying to get these points across to people. And I really thought we might get some honest conversations, right? Because you have Liz coming in to help him. We don't really know the frequency, but she brings him food. You know, he's ordering pizza a lot. She's bringing him subs and all of this kind of thing. And we never get an answer why, right? Because you can see he's fat. You can see he's overweight. You know it's not healthy. She's a fucking nurse. So why is she keeping bringing him food? You know? There's that. But when his daughter turns up, you know, she's like, you're disgusting. And I think an interesting part was she's just like, oh, and I don't just mean your weight. Even if you weren't that big, you'd still be disgusting. And so I thought we might get some honest conversations here, but we don't really. I mean, we don't at all, you know, because it's just him going, oh, but Ellie, you're brilliant. You're amazing. You should know you're amazing. And you're just like, but he doesn't know her. Right? This is the thing. He doesn't know her. He hasn't seen her in years. Hasn't seen her in years. But we just get these statements rolled out like, oh, she's amazing. Like, she's an incredible writer. And you're just like, the essays that she wrote, I mean, it's not amazing, right? It's a perspective on something, but there's so many different perspectives you can have on these things, right? He's an English teacher. So it's baffling how it's like, this is amazing, or these are the most honest things that you could say when you're teaching young people, right? You're teaching young people. So that, you know, the mind hasn't even fully stopped growing yet. Your opinions change, right? So the thing they say might not even be true tomorrow. You know what I mean? So making these huge sweeping statements is an odd thing from an English teacher, right? It's an odd thing to say. And just the whole teaching thing is 2016. So there's, I wondered when you see, because he has his camera off when he's teaching. So I'm like, is this during the pandemic? Is this what this is meant to be? Something like that. I don't know. But no, it's in the same 2016. So I'm like, what school, right? What institute would let a teacher do that? Because you'd think, right, that these classes, you know, classes get audited, that someone would just stop by just to look, right? Just to make sure everything is being taught properly and, you know, all of this. And they would see the camera off and be like, yo, can't have your camera off, right? Can't have your camera off. Like, this is weird. You know, the name is instructor. Again, you'd think it would be Mr., you know, the name. There's so many things that don't really make that much sense. Right? And he's saying, no, I can't say that. That's towards the end of the film. So that would be giving too much away, I guess. Though I don't really feel it has much on the story. But anyway, yeah, there's just... It's a film that looks to be trying to, you know, tell a story about regret, choices, grief, religion, acceptance, all of these different things, but I just didn't really feel it does it incredibly well. Right? It just felt flawed. It just felt like it didn't really want to do a proper analysis of the situation, right? Didn't want to do an actual thought piece, you know, an honest story. As an honest story, you would have thought that people would be talking to him before he hit 600. Right? Before he hit 600. Like, why? That's the big thing that should have been there. Like, why did no one go, yo, I ain't bringing you food, I ain't helping, I'm calling the local authority. You know what I mean? Like, someone to come check this out. Because this, you need help. You need help. Right? Because he's got pulleys on the ceiling. So who put the pulleys in? This is the thing. It's just like, wait, who adapted the house? You know what I mean? Like, who did those things to allow him to do this? Like, who bought the long thing to clean himself with? We don't know, right? It's just never addressed. It's never there. But we're dealing with this guilt, right? We're meant to be dealing with this loss. He's eaten himself to this size because of loss. But was there any therapy, right? Did he see a counselor to try and get over that loss? Like, what happened, right? What were the interventions that were tried? What were the processes that he attempted before he just gave up, right? What were they? We don't know. We don't know, right? And I think we've come across obese people before. Everyone's come across obese people before. It's not like, oh my God, I've never seen someone that size before. So there's a point when there's all of this shock, and I'm just like, I don't believe there would be that much surprise. Right? Well, there's a couple of occasions where there's this surprise. And I don't believe it would be that, because again, we've come across obese people, right? And if you're going to a place and no one's opening the door, right? You know there's a reason why people don't open the door. So I don't think there would be a shock about that, right? You'd think obese. You'd think like, I don't know, some sort of scarring, disfigurement, something like that. But there's not really a shock to it. So I just think the story, there should have been more, right? There should have been more to it. It just feels like it wanted to dip its toe into something, right? Wanted to dip its toe in and go, look, we're telling a story about an obese person, but we're not going to be mean about it. We're going to, you know, try and attempt to show their story. But I just don't think it does that. I don't think it does that. But, you know, this film won a shitload of awards, right? Won a shitload of awards. So I'm probably wrong, right? My opinion doesn't necessarily mean anything, you know. It's these things are subjective. I'm sure all of you may watch this film and think differently to me, but yeah, that's what I get when I watch this film. You know, we have some decent performances for sure, right? I think Hong Chau's performance, you know, you can see she comes across very downtrodden, right? But I'm not like Fraser. Again, you just have him like, having these health issues, right? But then being all super po like, you're amazing, Ellie. Oh, Ellie, you're so great. And oh, I'm sorry, I was in love and blah, blah, blah. But he had an affair, right? Had an affair, right? I don't really care, right? You're gay, you're straight, it doesn't really matter. But cheating, shitty. It's as simple as that. You know what I mean? So you got this, the daughter. Again, there's so many issues with that, right? Sadie, she does a decent role with the kid, but I think the character doesn't really have a lot. There's not a lot there, right? There's all these issues going on that never really get addressed. I mean, everyone's a bit of a shit. No one's really that likable in this film. There's issues with every single person, which is fine because no one is perfect. But no one's things get addressed. No one's things get addressed. That's my thing. But I mean, to be honest, my reaction to the film doesn't necessarily surprise me because I thought Moby Dick was a terrible book. You know what I mean? So that's this kind of anchor to the story, but I thought Moby Dick sucked. So yeah. People, right? You can watch this film everywhere, it's now on Prime. That's where I watched it. But yeah, I mean, I'm curious to know what yo everyone else thinks, man. So let me know what you thought of this. I was not overly convinced. It felt beached. Felt like it was beached, if we are sticking with our whale analogies. You know what I mean? But you may think something else. Right. But yeah, the whale. The whale. Hey, one other thing though, I will say, for someone that way who clearly does not move a lot, the skin looked a lot better than you feel it should do. Right? He talks about the sores and all of this. I don't really think it was that visible. I do have shit eyesight though, so maybe it was, but I just couldn't see it. But yeah, I wasn't overly convinced on that front either. But hey, not every film is gonna blow us away. So yeah, people, the whale. People, grab your calendar and mark down the dates. May 31st to the 6th of June sees the return of the best love sci-fi film festival out in the streets. It's Sci-Fi London 2023, people. And you know what I mean? We have got feature films, short programs. There is the return of Hackstock, the 7th edition, right? We've got Comic Fair, Panel Borders. Oh, so much stuff to look forward to. So much stuff to look forward to. Forward to, people. You know what I mean? So, yes. Now, what films will be playing? The opening night gala will see the screening of UFO Sweden, right? That's on the 31st. Then on the 1st of June is the UK premiere of Phi 1.618. It might be pronounced something differently, but that's what I'm seeing in front of me, people. Right. The next day, on the 2nd, is the international premiere of Cade, The Tortured Crossing. Right. Also, we have the UK premiere of Deep Astronomy and the Romantic Sciences. Right. On Friday, the 2nd of June, is the UK premiere of Once Upon a Time in the Future 2121. Then there's also the world premiere of Uzma. The UK premiere of The Warm Season. The world premiere on Saturday the 3rd of The Great Glitch. You also have the UK premiere of The Elderly. No, there's not a load of old people turning up. It's a film, people. It's a film. Right. Then there's the UK premiere of Winter Tide. Right. On Sunday the 4th, it's the UK premiere of The Eye and the Wall. Right. You've also got Remote, which is on Monday the 5th of June. Right. That's a festival preview. You've got Mondo Nights on the 5th. There's Mad, A Night of Nuclear War. And the closing night gala on the 6th of June is The Bystanders. Now, every year, right, there's a great shorts program. And you know what I mean? Hey, it continues. It continues in 2023. So our first shorts program, people, is Join the Dots. Okay. So that will be, I think that's screening at the Rich Mix, right? You've got Connection. There's Other Half, Keep, Delete, Cross, Moonskin Fever, All I Hear Is Static, and Company. All right, then we have got Beam Me Up, Siri. This is also at the Rich Mix. And that comprises of Sylvie Made It, Interview with Traveller 582, Roe Butler, The Operator, The Virtual Llama, The Fourth, and Take Me to Your Influencer. Then we have It's the Future, Jim. Right, this also at the Rich Mix. We have The Draft, Time Spent, Flight, 10 with a Flag, Alien Nation, Shrapnel, Solitarius Lupius. It's Dog to Make a Houseplant If Your Sandwich. Yeah, that's the name of it, people. And also Claudio's Song. Then there is Space Is the Place. Rich Mix again. We have got Dark Cell, Record Play Stop, Solace, Drifter, Fracture, Lost in the Sky, and Defining Human. Next up is Emotional Intelligence, Rich Mix, Suppression, The Machine, Sucker, The Empathy Machine, Radio Telescope, and the final film block of shorts is I think this is I Spy with My Little Eye. No, I don't think that's what that is called. I think it is Silver Sows Climate Crisis. Silver Sows? I think that's how you say it. I'm not quite sure, people. So this one is taking place at Picture House Central. And we have got Homing Instinct, Spa Sibrit, Time Tourists, and that's it. I think these ones will have Q&As. So there is a lot to keep you occupied, people. So do not miss it. Remember, it's the 31st of May to the 6th of June. Sci-Fi London 2023. You better not miss it, people, because it's going to be a blast. Stories have spanned the eons of time, right? We have so many genres, so many types of story, but sci-fi can encapsulate all of them, which is the joy of it, people. And here's the thing. Everyone feels that they've got a story within them, right? You watch films and you think, I could do better than that, or I've got a better take on that than they did. So this is your opportunity to put your film where your mouth is. That's right, people. The 48-hour film challenge is back. Mark it down, right? The 24th to the 26th of June. The 48-hour film challenge. Now, here's what the gist is, right? At 11 a.m. on the 24th, you will be sent, right? The title of the film you're going to be making, a prop list, a line of dialogue, and an optional idea film, right? Then you have until the Monday to write, shoot, and deliver your film. But don't worry. It just has to be 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Simple, right? You can do it. And judging the films this year, we have got the great Amanda Ray. We also have Chi Kong Chong and Marbella. All right, they are the first three judges to be announced. So stay tuned because there will be more. But people, start plotting those ideas down. Start plotting those ideas down. Register so you are set, because this is going to be another hotly contested challenge. The only question is, will you be a part of it? Okay, people, so before we close the book on this week's episode, let's take a little looky look at what's happening in the world of film. Okay, so The Little Mermaid isn't the only animation having a live action adaptation, right? DreamWorks are doing the same to How to Train Your Dragon, right? And we now know who two of the live representations will be, right? So we have got Mason Thames, who will be playing Hiccup, right? Who in the cartoon was voiced by Jay Basher now. And then we have got, who's the other one? Nico Parker, right? She will be playing the live version of Astrid, right? Who America Ferrera voiced in the cartoon. So there you go. Dean DeBlas is writing and directing. So we'll see what happens with this one. Now, another animation coming to life. Well, but this one is still going to be an animation, and that is Last Airbender, right? So, I think we got a new lot of voice actors on board, right? So we have Mae Whitman, Dane Basco, Zach Tyler Eisen, who were originally involved, but they will not be returning, supposedly. You know what I mean? So they did the voices for the Nickelodeon cartoon series. So we're getting some new people involved. I think, they're doing some weird things with the property. I don't know. They might be making it more authentic. Who knows? But we'll see what happens. I think it's like they're aging the characters, I believe. So we will see. We will see. Insidious, right? It's one of those franchises now, and it's getting its own spin-off, right, called Fred, an Insidious Tale. And Kamal Nanjiani and Mandy Moore will be starring in this new feature. Right, it says the story follows a husband and wife who enlist the help of a spell to travel back in time such that they can prevent the death of their young daughter. The consequences prove to be severe, obviously. Right? Jeremy Slater is going to be directing and writing the script. So, I guess fans of the main features will probably be interested in that, right? We are getting the live-action Momoa, right? We now know that Thomas Kail is going to be directing the piece. Yes! So, I think he directed Hamilton, you know? So, he's got pedigree behind him, you know what I mean? So we'll see what he does with that one. Another cartoon coming is Total Mayhem, Total Mayhem, the Mutant Mayhem, right? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right? That's hitting cinemas in August. And we now know that the score is coming from none other than Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, which, you know, that's definitely got me intrigued because, god damn, those motherfuckers can turn their hand to a good soundtrack, right? I mean, they did Tron. I mean, they've done a lot. My mind's gone blank. But they've done a lot of shit, which is always great. So, yeah, I'll be on board for that. See what they've got in store. Right, so Lord and Miller, you know, right? Lego Movie, Jump Street. They did After Party at Apple. So Philip Lord and Chris Miller, right? They have been out talking because Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is, I think it's out this week, right? So they, you know, wrote, produced that, and they've been talking about other projects. So they've confirmed that we are getting a Spider-Man noir film, you know, which could be interesting, right? And we're also still getting Project Hail Mary, right? Which is, yeah, I think that's the latest, that was the latest book from Andy Weir, right? Andy Weir of the Martian fame, which I kind of feel the Martian is the best book, right? Because he did Artemis afterwards and, you know, Project Hail Mary, which both just bored the fuck out of me, man. But, you know, who really cares, right? It's coming to the big screen. I feel Artemis has been picked up as well. So we'll see what happens with that one. But yeah, Project I think Ryan Gosling is attached to play Ryland Grace, you know? And I think he still is. I think Drew Goddard is attached to write the script. We will see what happens, right? But that's still still in the mix. And, you know, talking about Spider-Man, right? Amy Pascal has let out that we are getting a whole heap of projects, which I feel everyone knew, right? I think we knew we were getting a full Spider-Man film. I think that was confirmed a while back, right? And they were just trying to see if Tom Holland would come back. And I do believe he did confirm that he would. But Pascal has also said that we are getting a Spider-Woman film. You know what I mean? And what was the other one? It was something else. I forget. But Spider-Woman for Miles Morales, that's it. We're going to get one of those. So, you know, see what happens, right? We have opened up the multiverse, which does open up a lot of possibilities. You know what I mean? So I'm intrigued. Now, the biggest bit of news, people, and we're going to end on this. So, Rebecca Ferguson, right? All over the place, right? She's in Mission Impossible. You know what I mean? She's going to be June, right? She's Lady Jessica in June. So, the second part is hitting later in the year, December, I believe. And she was great in the first one. Now, the bit of news that has definitely got me really intrigued, people, is she is going to be playing Monza Mercato. Monza Mercato? I hear you say. Who the fuck is that? Well, motherfuckers, if you do not know, she is the snake of talons, right? You still don't know? Goddamn, pick up a book, motherfuckers. She was featured in a book by the great Joe Abercrombie, right? It part of his First Law universe, and the book was Best Served Cold. People, it's a great book. It's a great book. And I had no inkling that this had been picked up. Oh, man. Now, it's interesting because I would have gone with the First Law trilogy first, right? Those are great books, right? Those are great books. But no, we are getting, it seems like, Best Served Cold, which is a standalone, right? So I guess if that works, then you go into the trilogy. You know what I mean? And there's other, you know, there's a lot of other books as well. So there's a lot of potential here. But yeah, goddamn, Tim Miller is going to be directing, and Abercrombie will be writing it himself. You know what I mean? Abercrombie is a great fucking writer, so I am very much excited. All right, David Ellison, Dana Goldberg, Don Granger, Aaron Ryder, Tim Miller, and Joe Abercrombie will also be producing. So yes, people, yes, 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 that is it. We are done for another week, and you know, I'll see you next. But also keep your eye out for our Sci-Fi London coverage. Okay, people, until next time, peace.